The Dugasons, story by Ferdinando Pellegrino, copyright January 2008. Marty calls. It is 9:30 p.m. Swampy, the chopper will pick you up at 5 a.m. Marty owns a general store, which is the butcher, grocery store, post office, pub and service station. It is the town. There are 32 people living in Bowesville, made up of 28 Aboriginals. Marty, Swampy, Daz and Shaz, a hippie couple Swampy saved from the streets and moved them in with him to live on his farm. They grow crops and look after the property when he is away. They are with Marty and the Groomba Aboriginals, Bob being the tribal elder, a dear friend, they are his family. The chopper arrives, right on time, 5 a.m. What is it, Joe? Asks Swampy. It is a bad one. Earthquake, India, thousands missing. Buildings collapsed, mudslides, a catastrophe. Swampy was the son of an Irish couple that migrated to Australia in the 60s. He was 5 years old when they arrived. His mother was a school teacher. His father worked at Port Kembla Steelworks. He was killed on Swampy's 7th birthday. A walkway collapsed and he fell into a batch of molten steel. It did not get better for Swampy. He lost his mother in a car accident. She died instantly. He lost both parents before the age of 8 and was orphaned. The orphanage was more like a prison. The only people putting on weight were the old, selfish, fat nuns. Swampy was constantly in trouble, sticking up for the other children. He had had enough at the age of 15 and ran away. Swampy was fortunate. He got a job as a stable hand with Sally and Georgie Bates. They were successful horse trainers. Soon he was doing track work. Eventually got his apprentice license and then became a successful jockey. It was the Australasia 3,200 metre cup, the richest racing event in Australia. That's when the tragic race fall happened. He lost his right kidney, shattered his left knee and was in a coma for 3 weeks. His jockey days were over. With the money Swampy received from the insurance company, he was able to buy a farm at Bowesville. 12 months had passed since the accident. Swampy was restless. He was having a beer with Bob at Marty's pub, which was only a round plastic table with 4 stools in the grocery section of the general store. Swampy looked up at the television when a news flash was screened. Earthquake, Pakistan, World Rescue International volunteers have already arrived. That's what I'm going to do. Join World Rescue International, said Swampy. Well, he did. He quickly became known as a hero. His bravery was second to none, a true leader. The other international volunteers truly respected him. On arrival in India, Swampy was picked up by helicopter and taken to the devastation. No time for hellos, boys. He immediately started organizing the rescues. After 3 days, they weren't finding any more survivors. There was a terrible smell of death. Day 9, it was time to bring out the heavy machinery, cranes and tractors. Impossible for survivors now. The volunteers had been digging 24 hours a day with short breaks, 9 days in a row in atrocious conditions. What special human beings. Day 10, it was the east side that had to be leveled. It was searched days earlier. Swampy was sitting on rubble having a cigarette. The smoke was blowing into a crevasse to the right of his knee. He thought he heard a noise coming from inside the crevice. He quickly kneeled and shined his torch into the gap. He saw a little arm barely waving to the light. It's a miracle. We have a survivor, calling all the rescuers to where he was. They made the hole larger. The boy was pinned. He had a beam on his ankles. It is suicide to go in there, the rescuers said. I need a rope tied around my ankles. Give me some bananas and a fresh water bottle. I'm going in, declared Swampy. They shook their heads in disbelief. What courage. Swampy had crawled about 12 metres when he was face to face with a young boy. "My name is Swampy. What's yours?" "Pakimatu," replied the boy. He ate 3 bananas and drank a bottle of water in no time. "My ankle is stuck," said the boy. "I need to get a machine to free your leg." "I will be back," said Swampy. "Get me a porta power and a second rope to take back down. I will tie the rope around the boy's wrist. When I lift the beam on my signal, drag him out. And don't forget to drag me out too. If this bottom beam doesn't hold, we're dead." Swampy went back down. He was calming Pakimatu. "It's going to be all right." And continued to set the porta power, praying the bottom beam would hold. There was another earth tremor. "Get out of there, Swampy," the rescuers called. "I'm not leaving without the boy," he yelled. "Now get ready to pull." He had the porta power in position and started to pump it. "Just a little bit more. Get ready, boys. Pull, 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 you bastards." They got the boy out. Then there was another tremor. "Pull, pull, pull, you buggers." They had just gotten Swampy out when it caved in. "Where is the boy?" surrounded by media and rescuers cheering. Swampy asked. "He's over there being placed in the ambulance." Pakimatu was calling for Swampy. "Swampy, Swampy, my friend, where's Swampy?" Then he saw Swampy approaching. He immediately opened his arms and embraced him. "You're a brave lad," Pakimatu, embracing him back. "Now you go to the hospital. I will visit you before I go home. I promise." Swampy was hailed a hero again. The Indian community and media could not get enough of him, but he knew he was lucky to have survived this tragedy. He praised the World Rescue Volunteers for their courage and commitment. He called them his brothers. The next day, before heading home to Australia, Swampy called into the hospital to see Pakimatu. It was like they had always known each other. They hugged, held hands, and spoke for ages. It was time for Swampy to leave. He had the chopper waiting to take him to the airport. Swampy had a tear. It was difficult for them to separate. "I must go. Take care, Pakimatu." Pakimatu was crying. "Goodbye, Swampy, my friend. Goodbye." Swampy was an emotional wreck as he walked out of the room. He went to the reception and asked what would happen to Pakimatu when he would leave the hospital. "Orphanage," replied the nurse. Swampy got a cold shiver. He knew what orphanages were like. It brought back bad memories. He left. A month had passed. Swampy was not happy. He was having constant flashbacks of Pakimatu. Daz and Shaz put on a party inviting the whole town, 32 people, hoping it would cheer Swampy up. Bob had never seen Swampy so down. "What is it, mate?" asked Bob. "It is the kid, Pakimatu. I can't get him out of my head. I feel his sadness, his pain. I hate the thought of him being in the orphanage." "Your spirits have fused together," replied Bob. "You will find peace when you reunite." "What do you mean, Bob?" "Go to India and get your son. Adopt him." Swampy's gloom turned to joy. "Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Let's enjoy the party. Tomorrow I will start the inquiries to bring Pakimatu home to Australia." There was so much red tape to go through. 2 frustrating months had passed when Marty called. "Swampy, official mail has arrived for you. I'm coming over. See you soon." Opening the letter, reading it, Swampy jumped for joy. "I can adopt Pakimatu. I have been approved. I can bring my boy home. Paki Dugason. Congratulations, Swampy Dugason. Congratulations." Marty was ecstatic for Swampy's joy. "Marty, when your next grocery order goes out, could you please order for me plenty of popular Indian herbs, a spiritual book on Hindu, Dilmar tea, an Indian cookbook, and don't forget, plenty of rice. See you in a week." The reunion, what emotions. "How has he been, sister, finalising the paperwork?" asked Swampy. "Not well. He is having constant nightmares. He wakes up calling, "Swampy, Swampy, my friend, I want Swampy." He looks around and finds it hard to fall asleep. He mopes and has no appetite. It will be a different awakening this morning. I can't wait to see his joy when you are beside his bed, the sister said. All of the staff followed Swampy to the dormitory to watch the reunion. Swampy was standing over his bed. Pakimatu was tossing and turning, having another nightmare. Opening his eyes, there stood Swampy. Pakimatu thought he was dreaming. Swampy opened his arms. They embraced. "You are my son, Paki Dugason. You will never be alone again." Everyone was in tears, clapping and congratulating them. Before they left, Paki made a promise to the sisters that he would return and help the orphanage. What a homecoming party there was. A new member to the town, Bowesville, had grown to 33 people. They showered Paki with love and gifts. Paki settled in naturally. Swampy organized his education by correspondence. He learned the ways of the land from the Groomba Aboriginals. He had a natural gift with nature. He could communicate with animals. He saved Shaz from being bitten by a brown snake. As it was about to strike, Paki shouted, "No!" The snake looked at Paki, then stared him in the eyes. It obeyed him. It went off into the bush. Shaz was lucky. It could have killed her in 30 minutes if bitten. Another instance. Paki was on his way to Bob's place to play with his grandchildren when he heard crying and screaming to his right, coming from the bush. Bob's grandchildren were surrounded by a pack of dingoes. Paki, showing no fear, with arms wide open, he talked to the dingoes walking towards them. He kneeled in front of them. The dingoes walked to him, then licked him. They then laid in front of him. He patted them. "Run home," he said to the children. "I will be there soon." Bob's wife Mary witnessed this from a distance. She could not reach the children. She was too far away. She feared the dingoes would rip the children to pieces. Then she feared for Paki, who knelt in front of them. Talking and patting them, the dingoes became his friends. Amazing! Paki arrived at Bob's to play with the children. Bob, Mary and the children all hugged him. They were so thankful. He saved a dangerous situation. "The dingoes won't scare the children anymore. They will protect them," said Paki. "Tonight we feast to you, Paki," Bob said. "Tonight you become a member of the Groomba Aboriginal family." Everyone was there, the best of bush tucker, traditional music and dancing. During the evening, the adults were talking about Paki. Bob said he has a natural gift with animals. Shaz replied, "He saved me from the brown snake." Swampy said that in India he was a champion elephant jockey at the age of 11. He never used a whip during a race. He said, "My property had become a zoo. Animals drop in all the time. He communicates to them with his mind. He is truly amazing," said Swampy. After Paki's 16th birthday party, everyone had left. Swampy was having a beer and Paki his Dilmah tea on the porch. When Swampy's pet retired racehorse Flo, who was also injured in the tragic racehorse in the Australasia Cup, never to race again, was neighing and restless. "Look up there, Paki. It's Brando. It is the son of Flo. His father was, before his death, king of the Brumbies. Rather than being caught, he jumped off a cliff. It was a tragic ending. Brando now is the leader. He is impossible to catch. Every now and again, he comes to visit his mother. He is a beautiful black stallion," said Paki. "Stay away from him," said Swampy. "He is dangerous. Don't go near him. He is mad." Brando had not been seen for weeks. It was early morning. Paki loved to climb the mulberry tree, eat the berries, and enjoy the company of bird friends. When Brando approached the corral to see his mother, Flo, the mulberry tree was just outside the corral. Paki was hypnotized watching the beautiful reunion. Suddenly, Paki lost his footing and fell on Brando. Brando was shocked as well and took off. Packy grabbed the hair on Brando's neck and held on for dear life. Swampy was on the porch having coffee with Daz and Shaz. They were shocked. "Hold on, Packy! Hold on!" Swampy yelled. He was helpless. There was nothing he could do. Packy, on the other hand, was enjoying the ride. He was constantly talking to Brando. "Go, Brando. I am your friend, Brando. Live with us. Live with your mother, Brando." Brando responded. He slowed down. Packy was now leading him. Swampy, Daz and Shaz were in shock, just shaking their heads. Packy led Brando to the corral to join his mother. Hugging his neck, "You are my friend, Brando. We all love you." They all ran to Packy. "Are you all right? That was fun. Can Brando stay with us? Please, Father." Swampy could not say no. It was the first time Packy had called him Father. He felt proud. Packy had left the corral gate open. They had their backs turned when Packy got a nudge. Turning around, it was Brando with Flo. Packy gave Brando another hug and then introduced Brando to Swampy, Shaz and Daz. They were still startled. "A new member in the family," said Swampy. "Welcome, Brando." Then Packy. He was actually patting Brando, the legend. "I can't wait to tell Marty and Bob." When Packy was in the shower, Swampy said to Daz and Shaz that in all his life he had never seen a horse and man unite as one like they did. What riding skills! Next morning, Swampy was woken up by commotion. He heard yelling, "Go, Brando, let's go!" Looking from his porch, he saw Packy riding Brando. His mother Flo was chasing him. She could not keep up, but she had a new zest for life. They were having a ball riding through the fields. After organizing their feed, Packy raced inside. "Father, I want to be a jockey like you were." Pointing at the winning photo on the wall of Swampy and Flo, her racing name was Flo's Choice, winning the Gilroy Sydney Cup, the second biggest race in Australia. "I want to be a jockey like you." "Slow down, son. I will think about it overnight and give you my decision tomorrow morning." "Okay, Father." At breakfast, Packy was nervous. "There are some things you must be aware of, Packy. The dangers, the commitment it takes to be a jockey. Horses do fall, jockeys go down. You could be crippled or killed. I lost a dear friend, Bobby Trent. He was leading in the 3,200 metre Australasia Cup when his horse, Great Day, snapped his Achilles tendon and went down in front of the pack. He died instantly. Great Day had to be destroyed. It was a chain reaction. 6 other horses went down as well. 3 had to be put down, 4 jockeys hospitalised. Swampy then lifted his shirt, showing Packy his scars from his kidney removal and showed him his knee that was smashed in the same race. "Then you have to constantly watch your weight. Other jockeys competing against you, trying to block you off. There are negative, evil sides to horse racing. Apart from the beauty and the money, there is also a thing called greed that attracts shady characters. You think about it, Packy." "No! I want to be a jockey, Father, and Brando wants to race. He wants to be a champion like his mother, Flo." "Okay, son. We start training tomorrow morning at sunrise. In the meantime, I have to organise papers for your jockey's apprenticeship. I also have to apply for the trainer's licence and register Brando. There shouldn't be any problem, for he is 50% thoroughbred. Thank you, Father." The next morning, Swampy asked Packy to sprint Brando 600 metres after warming up. The start was from Swampy. The 600 metre finish was Shaz. "Wow, what time. It's incredible. It was freaky." Packy did not use the whip. He believed the horse should not be whipped. It should run on its own natural spirit and the rider to guide and time the horse in the race. After seeing that run and outstanding timing, it was fine, Swampy. He was convinced. Weeks had passed. It was dawn. Swampy woke up to the sound of name. Packy, let's check the horses. It's all right. Don't worry, Father, said Packy. It's Flo, training Brando, teaching him timing for longer distant races. Astonishing, Swampy thought, shaking his head, going back to bed. During breakfast, Swampy received a call on the two-way radio. Yes, Marty, you received mail. 3 letters from the Australian Racing Authority. Open them, please, Marty. The suspense is too much. Well, Swampy, it seems Brando, Packy and yourself are in the racing business. Thanks, Marty. Packy was staring eagerly, waiting for the news. Swampy had a poker face, then said, Packy, we are in the racing business. Packy jumped for joy, then hugged Swampy. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Then Brando and Flo put their heads in the kitchen window and started neighing. They know, Father. They are excited as well. Let's get to work. There's a lot to learn, a lot to do. That evening, Swampy and Packy were sitting on the front porch, drinking Dilmah tea, talking about racing. Packy, the Bang Bang Cup is our first race. That's the one. There will be the best of the country horses. It is the only race left to qualify in the country for the big city races. It is 2,800 metres. It is perfect. We have 1 month to prepare. The Bang Bang Cup will be televised all around the country. 4 a.m. race day. Swampy wakes up Packy. We have a long drive to Peckersville. That's where the racetrack is. We have to pack and load the float. We will have a lot of stops to exercise Brando, Flo and ourselves, so we are fresh on arrival. Off they went. It was a sight to see. Swampy's car was an ex-army lime green Dodge ambulance. The two-horse float was ancient. If we win the race, we will buy a new horse float for Brando and Flo, said Swampy. Arriving in Peckersville, there was a carnival atmosphere. It was exciting for Packy, as he had not seen anything like this in his life. There was a large media presence. It was announced that Scarecrow, the top city galloper, with top jockey Willie Tingles, will be riding in the Bang Bang Cup this afternoon. The owners wanted to give Scarecrow an extra training run before he ran in the major city race, the Premier's Group 1 Cup. All the country trainers were furious. After paying the high entry fees, a top-class city horse, a certainty to win the race, would deny them a chance to win and qualify for the big city races, plus the prize money of $100,000, which is huge for a country race meeting. Swampy said to Packy, don't worry, son, just focus on what you need to do and let them burn themselves out with their whinging. While walking the track to familiarise Packy and Brando to the race course, Swampy and Flo were giving Packy and Brando last minute instructions. They won the Bang Bang Cup years ago. It's a dangerous race, with lots of jockeys using it to make a name for themselves. It was time for Packy to get ready. Swampy opened a bag and handed Packy his riding silks. The top was navy blue, a large gold star on the front and back, with smaller gold stars of the Southern Cross on the sleeves. These were my riding silks, and I am proud for you to wear them, Packy. Thank you, Father. I am honoured. Now, you go ahead to the dressing sheds. I will place the bets for Marty, Bob, Shaz and Daz and ourselves. Then join you there. Brando was 80-1. The bookmakers gave him no chance. When Packy walked into the jockey's change room, they all laughed at him, except one, a female apprentice jockey named Cindy Marshall. Then one jockey, Gopher Williams, said, what is it? A black praying mantis with a moustache? The rest of them laughed. Packy's head dropped. His feelings had been hurt. He had never experienced this before. Suddenly, this boot goes up Gopher Williams' backside. Swampy kicked him with his good leg, raised him 1 meter off the ground. He is not a black praying mantis with a moustache. He hit my son, Packy Dugason, and all of you never, ever forget that, or you will deal with me. He is my son. Packy had never seen the side of Swampy before. All the jockeys knew that Swampy was not only a champion jockey, but he was a champion with his fists as well. Race time was approaching. The last minute instructions were being given to the jockeys. Swampy was extremely nervous for the well-being of Packy and Brando. "Don't worry, Father, we will be fine." Flo seemed calm. She looked proud walking her son onto the racetrack. Back home, the town was at Marty's pub. They were all excited to watch the telecast on satellite television. At the start, the other jockeys were too scared to even look at Packy after what Swampy had done to go for Williams. The tough guy of jockeys, a real troublemaker. "Good luck, Packy," said Cindy. Packy appreciated the gesture and wished her well. He got tingles when she spoke to him. She was so pretty. "They're loading the stalls." Then the race caller started complaining about Brando, saying he should not be in the race. He has no class. His father was a Brumby. He won't even finish in the race. Back home at Marty's pub, they all booed. The race caller, Smitty Brown. "They're in the stalls. Ready. Racing. In the Bang Bang Cup. Then tragedy. Horse cuts in on Brando at the start. Brando props. Packy loses balance. Falls off his horse. What did I tell you, ladies and gentlemen? He won't finish the race. Jockey and horse are fine. Wait. Horse runs back for jockey. He remounts. They are chasing the pack. They're 70 metres behind. But are chasing. Unbelievable. What courage. What a spirit." At the 1,000 metre mark, Scarecrow, the city horse, was leading. He was just playing with the rest. Brando had caught up, but was still 20 metres from the field. At the 2,200 metre mark, Brando had caught the last horse and was running on at the 2,400 metres. "Who is this flying down the outside from last? I don't believe it. It's Brando. 200 metres to go. Brando has passed 2/3 of the field. He is flying. Last 100 metres down the straight. Only one to catch. Scarecrow. Brando is looking it down the outside. 20 metres to go. Brando catches up. Then runs past Scarecrow. It's a miracle. Brando wins the Bang Bang Cup. 80-1. Smashes track record. Never been seen before. Jockey falls off horse. Then big city champion. Brando Packy. Brando Packy who? Who are they? Never heard of them until today. I am speechless," the announcer said. At Marty's pub, everyone was hysterical with joy. Swampy was numb. He could not speak. What had he just witnessed? Even all the country trainers were cheering for Brando. At the end, they congratulated Swampy. A country horse had beaten the champion Scarecrow. The media was in a frenzy trying to get to Packy and Brando. Swampy had reached them. Packy dismounted and ran over to Swampy. They hugged and jumped for joy. "We won. We won, Father," yelled Packy. "Are you all right, son?" "Yes, Father." "Good. I can enjoy the win now." The Dugasons, Swampy and Packy then gave a 15-minute interview to the media. "What's next?" they asked at the end of the interview. "Home to rest," said Swampy. They laughed. After everything had settled, they put Brando and Flo in the course stables and then went to the cafeteria to eat. During their meal, Swampy saw a dear friend, Sally Bates. "Where's Georgie?" he asked Sally. "He is deeply depressed, Swampy. He told me he was putting Zulu Boy back on the float. It has been a while and I'm worried for him. We bought Zulu Boy out of retirement. It is our only chance to save the farm. The drought has ruined us. The problem is that no one will ride him. The other jockeys call him a 10-year-old nag. It won't make the starting gate, they joked. We will lose the last of our money by scratching him. Don't worry, Sally. I will fix it. Packy will keep you company until we return. Swampy found Georgie. He was in an old shed and had a gun to his head. He was about to pull the trigger. No, Georgie! No! Shouted Swampy. He startled Georgie, and the gun went off. The distraction made him miss. I have a jockey to ride, Zulu boy, declared Swampy. Georgie broke down into uncontrollable tears. Swampy grabbed him and hugged him. Think of your beautiful wife. You helped me during hard times. Now I will return the favor. Get yourself together. We have a race to win, and Sally is extremely worried. Let's go, my friend. They caught up with Sally and Packy. Sally hugged Georgie. It's all right, darling. Then Swampy introduced Packy. This is my son, Packy. Georgie, he will ride Zulu Boy. Now you get Zulu Boy ready, Georgie. You go and get change, Packy. Sally, you notify the race officials that Zulu Boy will be ridden by Packy Dugason. And here is $1,000. Place the money straight out on Zulu Boy for the win. Hurry, we don't have much time left. Sally got odds of 300-1. 15 minutes to the last race. Swampy asked Georgie to let Packy take Zulu Boy for a walk. He needs to talk to him. What? Talk to a horse? Yes, talk to a horse, Swampy replied. Not enough time to explain. Just trust me. Zulu Boy took to Packy. They worked out their tactics for the race. Georgie handed Packy the whip. No need for that, Packy said. Georgie looked at Swampy in disbelief. It is fine. Georgie, trust the lad. Zulu Boy was always ridden from behind the pack. But today it will be different. Packy told Swampy he will ride Zulu Boy in the top three to the last 100 metres, then let him go. Zulu Boy knows the importance of this race. He only has one last sprint left in him. Don't mention our tactics to Georgie, Packy. He is totally stressed. The race caller, Smitty Brown, announced there was a rider for Zulu Boy. The new sensation, Packy Dugason, for the 1200 metre charity handicap race. No chance, ladies and gentlemen. A 10-year-old horse, 300-1, against a smart field of youngsters. No chance. They're ready, set, off they go. Packy had placed Zulu Boy exactly where he said. The top three in the first 200 metres. No, no, no! He always races behind the pack, yelled Georgie. He is a backmarker. Trust Packy, Swampy said. At the 500 metre mark, Zulu Boy was holding third. Packy was constantly talking to him. Smitty Brown, the race caller, was amazed. At the 1,000 metres mark, Zulu Boy was still third. Approaching the 1,100 metres mark, only 100 metres to go. Let's fly, Zulu Boy, Packy asked. Zulu Boy responded immediately. He shot to the front. 70 metres to go. He was 2 lengths in front. 30 metres left. 1 length in front. They were coming from everywhere at the finish. They swapped him. Photo! 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 Smitty Brown screamed. I don't know. It was a developed print. Georgie and Sally were shaking. Then Smitty Brown said, do you realise, ladies and gentlemen, that this boy did not use the whip in 2 races? He is a magician. Wait, here are the results. It's number 9! Zulu Boy! Zulu Boy wins the last race at 300-1! It is a boy over! Sally and Georgie were still shaking. They had saved the farm with their prize money and winnings. They were crying, tears of joy. They could not believe what had just happened. Packy and Zulu Boy could not get to the enclosure. The media were fighting each other to get to them. Swampy pushed his way through the confusion, then led Packy and Zulu Boy to the winning enclosure. Swampy said to Packy after the weigh-in, let's hurry, pack and head home. The media is out of control. Before leaving, Swampy and Packy said goodbye to Sally and Georgie. Zulu Boy walked up to them, then neighed. He was saying goodbye to them all. Then he suddenly had a massive heart attack and died. God bless you, Zulu boy. You will come home with us. You will be laid to rest in your favourite paddock. Georgie and Sally then knelt, hugged and kissed Zulu boy goodbye. On their long journey home, Swampy and Packy stopped at the service station to fill up with petrol and get some refreshments. The attendant had his television on. There was a news flash. One of the jockey and horse wins, bang bang cup, jockey falls off horse, still wins. Then boy wins race on 300-1 shot. Two rides, two wins, unbelievable. Where are the Dugasons? Find the Dugasons. It had reached the world media. Hang on. That's you, said the service station attendant. Can I have an autograph? Of course, said Packy. He also had his picture taken with Packy. How much do I owe you, asked Swampy. No charge, the attendant replied. They then headed home. The events of the day were no big deal for Packy. He was modest like Swampy. They just wanted to go home to their farm. What a day. The last stop before home was Marty's. They were all there, the town of Bowesville. They were greeted as heroes. Swampy gave them their winnings. They all won a small fortune. Swampy asked Marty not to give the media his address if questioned by them. No worries, Marty replied. No worries. The next day, Swampy went to town for supplies for the farm. It's mad, Marty said. Swampy, you are even getting calls from overseas. They are offering me money for information. I've got them all in a spin. Thank you, Marty. All this hysteria is not healthy for Packy. I am so proud of him, said Swampy. See you later in the week, Marty. Swampy went home. When he arrived, Packy was on the front porch. He looked sad. Then a tear ran down his face. What is it, Packy? Did I do something wrong? No, Father. I feel guilty. I have everything now, and my friends at the orphanage in India have nothing. It breaks Swampy's heart to see him sad. Well, Packy, we will just have to fix that. What do you mean, Father? Well, Packy, we will start a charity for the children. We will call it the Dugasons Children Appeal. Starting immediately. We won $100,000 prize money, plus $10,000 on bets. This is your money too, son. We only need to buy a new horse float for Flo and Brando. Then we need money to enter another race. Packy, we can start the charity with $50,000. Also, if you ride for another owner, they must donate 15% of their winnings to the charity. Plus, you ride in the navy blue of the Southern Cross Gold Stars. Our silks only, Packy, not theirs. Then we can donate most of Brando's winnings. I think it's time for a two-week holiday to India to start the Dugasons Children Appeal. At the same time, we will visit your friends in the orphanage. His face had turned from sadness to joy. The trip to India was successful. They were treated like kings. The news of Packy winning the races plus Swampy's heroic rescues in India made them celebrities. Greeted by the Prime Minister, Packy's dream also came true as he met his beloved Indian cricket team. They were just as excited to meet Packy and Swampy. They autographed a cricket bat and ball and presented it to Packy. They promised to donate 15% from their match payments for the next test against Australia. The visit to the orphanage was fantastic. It improved the quality of life for the children instantly. Packy enjoyed the time with his friends. It was fun, but unfortunately, leaving was sad. Packy and Swampy framed the racing silks of hope, their colours, and hung it in the dining area for all to share at the orphanage. On their return home, Packy and Swampy did some interviews. Daz and Shaz had taken the roles of managers and organised it all. The money Swampy and Packy earned, they donated to the Dugasons Children Appeal. The Current Affairs television station donated 15% of their advertising profits during the Dugasons interview. Brando was entered in two city races. He won both. The last win in the Gilmore Cup. qualified him for the Australasia Cup. Swampy had to make a decision. He had 3 days left to enter the race. The race brought back bad memories for Swampy. He did not want Packy harmed. He discussed the matter at the pub with Bob and Marty. Marty's advice was, go with the flow. That kid is on the path to greatness. Let Packy decide. Brando is not just any horse. He is a warrior. A warrior like his father. His love for Packy will make Brando protect him. Like Marty, I would make it Packy's call, said Bob. Thanks, boys. Thank you for your positive thoughts. I guess it's up to Packy. Of course. Packy said yes. Swampy radioed Marty immediately to fax the acceptance to run in the 3,200 metre Australasia Cup. We have 3 weeks to prepare. You will be racing against the best horses and jockeys in the country. The jockeys will try any dirty trick to get their hands on the Gold Cup. Race day. The town of Bowesville had hired a bus to take everyone to the racetrack. Many had never been to the city before. Swampy, Packy, Brando and Flo arrived 2 days earlier to prepare. The Racing Australia board were ecstatic. They were expecting an extra 30,000 people because of Packy and Brando. Their racing silks were famous now. They were the crowd's favourite. Race day, the folks of Bowesville arrive at midday. They claim the hill at the race course. They had made a huge flag, navy blue with the Southern Cross stars, now known as the Colours of Hope. It was placed on top of the hill by Marty. They then set their tents up. Bob and his cousins were playing their didgeridoos, special songs written for the event. The children were loving all the free carnival rides. The atmosphere was electric, the biggest race day in Australia. It was getting close to race time. Packy changed. As he was leaving the male change rooms, Cindy Marshall approached Packy. They were chatting and laughing. She got tingles too when she was around Packy. He has an admirer. Unfortunately, Gopher Williams had a crush on her, but she always rejected him. He had a pushy, evil nature. He saw them chatting. He was extremely angry and fought out loud. I'll fix them. Welcome to the 1990 Australasia Cup, ladies and gentlemen. This is Smitty Brown calling the race today. They smashed the track record by 38,000 people attendance. What a race it will be. The Clash Britain, Brando ridden by Packy Dugason, Cindy Marshall on the favourite She, and of course Doomsday ridden by Gopher Williams. It is a field of champions. I can't pick the winner in this race. It is anyone's race. I can't wait, Smitty Brown announced. They are loading the stalls. Ready, set. They are racing in the 1990 Australasia Cup. After 500 metres, She was fit, with Doomsday on her outside. Packy on Brando was just behind She. At the 800 metres mark, Gopher Williams sneakily flicked Cindy Marshall's left leg out of her stirrup with his whip. He calls her a bitch and rides past her. She was in big trouble. She had lost her balance. She would be crushed if she went down. Packy saw this. He pushed through a gap. Hold your ground, Brando. Stay with She, Packy told Brando. Cindy's left leg was up in the air. She was falling to her right. Holding the reins with his left hand, Packy grabbed her left foot with his right hand, pulled it down and placed it back in her stirrup. By the time she was safe, they were 50 metres behind everyone. I can't believe this, folks, Smitty Brown commented. Packy and Brando just saved Cindy Marshall. This will cost them the race for sure. Swampy's only concern was for Packy's safety. He did not care about winning the race now. With Cindy safe, Packy said, let's go, Brando. They chased the field. They were closing and closing in fast. 200 metres to go. Packy guided Brando to the outside. They caught the field. Doomsday was leading by 8 lengths. 80 metres left.
Brando was second. He's flying, Smitty Brown called. I don't believe this. 20 minutes to go. Brando caught Doomsday. Then ran past him. Brando wins. Brando and Patty win the 1990 Australasia Cup. Brando wins the cup. This is Smitty Brown. I can't believe what I've just witnessed. I've lost my voice. The crowd was hysterical. Swampy was in tears. So was Flo. The community of Bowsville was ecstatic. We won. We won, they all yelled. Marty said that he would declare this day a public holiday in Bowsville. Bob laughed. After the weigh-in and presentation, Cindy ran over to Packy and embraced him. You are my hero. Thank you. You saved my life, Packy. Packy then saw Gopher Williams. Excuse me for a minute, Cindy. He ran over to Gopher and tapped him on the shoulder. When he turned around, Packy punched Gopher in the nose. He fell flat on his back. You are lower than low, he yelled, standing over him. Swampy ran over to help Packy. It's all right, Father. I can handle this myself. Gopher Williams had fear in his eyes. He would not stand up until they left. Gopher was given a life ban from racing by the stewards. The incident was all on film. Packy and Brando were hailed heroes. It became worldwide news. Packy was holding the gold cup and the champion sash was put on Brando. Swampy was with Flo. The reporters were fighting for the story. This win is dedicated to my father, Swampy Dugason, Flo and all the orphan children of the world. Packy finished his speech. Over in America, the race was watched by Freddie the Tongue Testaduda. He controlled racing in the United States. He was the mob boss. Get me the Dugasons and that horse at any cost. Okay, boss, replied Tony Tagliatelle. That win was scary, Freddie said. The end. In the next story, the Dugasons race in America.